All right, let's go to Psalm 34, verse 19. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about when bad things happen to good people. And I want to speak a few minutes on that this morning, and hopefully we'll have a few things to encourage you about. And Psalm 34, 19, I'm reading the King James Version. The scripture says here, the psalmist is saying something that applies to us right now. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen. And that's God's word. Many of the afflictions. How many righteous people do we have here this morning? Praise God. There you are. Anybody who's righteous, it's not because you did anything good, because Jesus made you righteous, gave you a brand new spirit, and you're righteous right now. Your spirit is righteous. Amen? So you're righteous. The Bible says, because of the blood of Jesus, because you've accepted him as your sacrifice on the cross, and you repented of your ways, you are now righteous, you're a brand new person. So that means you. Many are the afflictions. I know we don't use that word today. You don't talk to your friend and phone them up or talk to them and FaceTime them and say, hey, you know, I want to tell you, I've been having a lot of afflictions. You don't talk that language. You talk in everyday English. And so sometimes I try to bring other version so that you'll have a modern language to relate to. So the TPT, all your TPTers, your TPers, this is for you. This is the TPT translation. It says, when bad things happen to good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by the things they face or what they face. So my point is this morning is this. Is that when bad things happen, God will turn the bad into good. Now, I'm going to just add something there. If you're patient, you can't just throw in the towel, right? If you got, oh, man, bad things happen, you just throw in the towel right away. No, that's not what I'm saying. Now, I just want to just give you a little reminder about a man by the name of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, I'm reading the NSC version. It says in here, the new century version, it says, you meant to hurt me, but God turned your evil into good. And there's another story I want to add on in Numbers 13. It says in there that when one nation was they hired a prophet to curse Israel. You know, Israel is a type of a Christian believer. If you understand the Bible, Israel in the Bible is a type of a Christian church or an individual believer in Jesus. There's types and shadows in the Bible that you have to understand. When you read the Bible, so it'll become more meaningful to you, more useful and to your faith. And so they hired a prophet to curse Israel, and the man tried. He did his best, tried to do it, but God would not let him. Instead, he started prophesying blessings. And he got mad. He said, you know, I hired you to curse Israel, but instead you blessed him. He said, what God has blessed, you cannot curse. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, a little louder than that.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. We need a little cooperation. And so somebody online might hear you because you need to be, you know, involved in this. You know, I don't want you to be sleeping this morning. But this should be real good to you because sounding good, because God will turn that around for you if you get to believe that, accept that, okay? And so that's kind of two examples, and I want to just say as an introduction to my introduction, have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is all this bad stuff happening to me in my life? Anybody ever said that? Why is this bad stuff happening? And you say to yourself, I'm doing my best to live right. Why has life become so difficult? I know Charlotte might have said that one time. There's so many things not working out for me. So many things not working out. I'm trying this, I'm trying that, but nothing's going my way. So if you made these kind of statements, you're actually really not alone. You know, the devil likes to isolate people and make them stay away, and so that they can just wallow and turn down the, you know, put on the softest music so that they can cry. That's very dangerous to your spirit. You know, grief is dangerous to your spirit and health. This world, some psychology tells you, you know, oh, go ahead and just go ahead and grieve as long as you want. Well, yeah, grieving is there. It's true. You don't deny it and you don't fight against it. Yeah, but, you know, listen to me. There's another side to it. You can be healed. I said, you can be healed. I said, you can be healed. Yeah? So I'm going to tell you something. I was healed. I used to have PTP. I used to have these PSD bouts. I'd wake up in the middle of the night sweating. And my bed is drenched. And I'm sweating. I'm shaking. I'm having anxiety attacks in bed. Out of my sleep. And bad dreams. For years and years. I didn't realize that what I was suffering from. And, you know, I didn't know how to cry out for God. I didn't know how to use my faith. So we have to understand that we can use our faith and we can get out of this thing. But too many majority, even the church, is telling people they can't really get out of this stuff because let's grieve some more. So it's dangerous to just to accept it and just to go. I mean, not, when I say accept it, you have to understand. I mean, just go ahead and wallow some more and get into some real self-pity. And just go ahead and think about all the bad stuff. Go ahead and rehearse it over and over and over. And keep it there. But God wants you to see a new life. He wants you to see, you know, in fact, here's what Mark Hinkins tells us, you know, in his teachings. He said, you know, when you got born again, you're a new person. In fact, you're so new that God has to introduce yourself to yourself. That is to find out who you are in Christ. You're a brand new person. You're not defeated anymore. You are a brand new person. You're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. You're not just an everyday guy. You're more than that. And that you're successful and you're going places. Amen? So if you said that, you're not alone. Here's what the Apostle Peter said. I got a feeling. Ever heard that song? I got a feeling. I can't remember that song, but it sounds good. Every once in a while, I kind of get into a groove. You know, I got some kind of feeling here this morning. I think it came in my spirit first because I know God's going to help a lot of people this morning. We get calls across the nation of people saying, we love Pastor Roma. No, they never said that. They said, you know, we love the word of God that's coming. I just added that, Pastor Roma, there. Just try to stretch it out a little bit. I'm speaking evangelistically. You know what I mean? You just stretch out that truth a little bit, you know? Okay. Here's what Peter said. Peter said, stand firm against him and be strong. Now, that's the command by God. He didn't say, you know, try to be strong. He didn't say, you know, go ahead and continue to be weak. He said, no, stand strong. He says, be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. This is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, the New Living Translation. So, do that give you guys my notes? Something's going wrong. I'm going to do that right now. I know you have to edit this program. This is a paid announcement by... You know what? I was wondering why it was happening. I'm going to just give you this right now. You know, you ought to give me your numbers and all that stuff and bypass somebody here. I sent it. Do you believe me? Okay, you don't believe me. Okay. So anyway, hallelujah. If you don't have it now, did you get it? Okay, so I was wondering why this was like, guys are looking at me like this. So I thought, man, I must be doing good here. They're mesmerized. Okay, let's start it all over again. Okay, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Let's go see that for a second and look at this. It says, Peter said, because I know a lot of people feel like they're the only ones that are suffering with this ailment or whatever it is, you know. But you're not. I said, you're not. Everybody said, I am. No, you're not. I am. No. So he says here, 1 Peter says, stand firm against him. That's against the devil. And be strong. Turn to your neighbor and said, be strong. So he says, be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of sufferings you are. So just remember right now, you are not alone. I mean, you have a family of believers everywhere that can relate to your situation. The same devil is everywhere doing the same kind of things. And let me just say to you, first of all, you're living on earth, okay? You're all earthlings. And in the world, in this earth where we are, that's why Jesus said, when you're standing, he's talking about standing here, when you know you have to ground yourself, I'm here right now. And when you're living here, as long as you're in this realm called earth, this world, you're always going to have trouble with the devil. And you're always going to have trouble with your flesh. See, your flesh and the devil are two different things. Because your flesh, people blame the devil for all their inability to control themselves. Because the Bible tells us in chapter 5, Galatians, that we have something called self-control. And so it's a fruit of the Spirit that we can start controlling our bodies, our desires, and so on. So we all live in a natural world that's been tarnished by Satan and sin. That's, you know, when the fall of man happened, that happened there. The effects are evident all around us right now. We know that there's stuff going on, and some people blaming God for all the bad stuff going on. It's not. And because he's not running the show. People say, oh, God is running the show. No, he ain't. God is not running everything. He's not. And all the stuff going on in our city that's bad, well, don't blame God for that. Don't blame God for that. And don't blame God for everything that's going on in your life that's God's doing. He's not. Get yourself clear in the scriptures and understand what the Bible says. So the Bible says even the whole world, the natural world, is crying out for redemption. We can show you various scriptures, but I'm going to give you one right now. Romans 8:22, the New Living says, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right to the present time. The Bible says this, even this earth is crying out. You can see all the calamities that's going on in the world, the earthquakes and famines, all the stuff that's going on. The earth is vomiting up stuff. It's called, what is that called? Lava. You got lava coming out? Well, you're something going on there. So, but one day, God said, I'm going to make this whole world new. I'm going to change things. But if Jesus showed up right now, in a moment of time, you'll be changed into, your physical body will change into the kind of body that Jesus had when he left here, when he was raised from the dead. And if your body was burnt in a fire, if your body was burnt and blew up in an airplane and an airplane crash, that same body, all those particles that come back together, and God will make it brand new. That's supernatural. That's God. I mean, he can do that. He said, well, I don't understand. I don't understand that. Well, there's a lot of things you don't understand, but you've accepted them. How do you, I don't understand how a plane can fly in the air and how a steel boat can go in the ocean. I don't understand all that stuff. Eh? Praise God. So we do a lot of things. We say things, well, let me understand it first, the scripture. No, there's a lot of stuff you don't understand. So here's what the psalmist said. When things go wrong in our lives, we look around evaluating things, and we see even wicked people, people who don't live for God, don't care for God, that hate God, that is against God. They don't seem to be affected like you. And you complain to God and say, why is this happening? I'm trying to live right. Look at those guys out there. They're stealing. I know they're working for this company or this organization. They're stealing things. They look like they can get away with it. Amen. Psalm 73, if you go to Psalm 73, let me read this guy and see what he said. I think he's speaking for you and me and everybody else who's done a little bit of complaining about what's happened to them when things are going wrong in their lives. You say, oh, I'm the only one. And why is everybody having this good time? They look at their Facebook. Oh, they bought a new something. They're on a trip again. I wish I had that kind of money. Where did they go? I bet you they stole that money. Hey, but I want to go to New York. I want to go to the Palm Springs. I want to go watch a Leaf game. Right? I want a new car. I want a snowblower. Why does he have new tires and I don't? Well, that's what he's saying over here. Okay, so here's what he says. No one can deny it. This is the TPT translation. Look up in the sky and see on the wall here. No one can deny it. God is really good to Israel, or you could say Christians or believers, and to all those who are pure in heart. But I nearly missed it for myself. How many people, when you look at something, you're evaluating from your eyes. You're seeing things from your perspective. You mean little puny old little beady little eyes looking at somebody. Somebody said, you're so narrow-minded, you look through a keyhole with both eyes. It don't make sense to me, but they say that. It sounds funny. When I first heard that, man, I laughed for 2 days. The guy's so narrow-minded, you can look through a keyhole with both eyes. None of you find that funny. I find things funny that other people don't. My wife said to me, I don't know why you find it funny, a guy falling off a roof. It's not funny, but it sure looks funny. I'm glad it's not me. That's why I'm talking about that thing, you know. I don't want anybody to fall over. But I'm enjoying the comedy of it. It's like the Marx Brothers. Anybody ever watch the Marx Brothers? Anybody know about the Marx Brothers or just one or two? There's a few people. I bought a whole pile of those things. I watch them. If you want to know I'm crazy, watch Marx Brothers. Okay, verse 2. Here's my story. I narrowly missed it, losing it all. Verse 3. I was stumbling over what I saw the wicked doing. For when I saw the boasters with such wealth and prosperity, I became jealous over their smug security. How many people ever felt jealous of somebody? Come on now, don't lie, you're in church. Yeah, yeah. You know, oh, look at those guys. Eh? I mean, it happens to me every day. I mean, I'm just so jealous. Everybody's having such a hard, good time except me. Why does it have to be me? It's going to be me. These old songs coming out. Backstreet Boys. Backstreet Senior. Eh? Back this way now. That's pretty good. It looks good. I know you're jealous. Yeah, I wish I could have those kind of moves. Honey, you should try that. Okay, where do we go? Verse 3 or 4? I was stumbling over what I saw the wicked doing, for when I saw the boaster with such wealth and prosperity, I became jealous over the smug security. Verse 4 and 5. Indulging in whatever they wanted, going where they wanted, doing what they wanted, with no care in the world, no pain, no problems, they seemed to have it made. They lived as though the world never ended. Verse 6. They even tried to hide their pride in opulence. Cruelty and violence are parts of their lifestyles. What's that crackling going on? Oh, there. Verse 6 says, they didn't even try to hide their opulence. Okay, verse 7 says, pampered and pompous. Vice oozes out of their souls. They overflow with vanity. Verse 8. They're such snobs looking down their noses, even scoff at God. They are nothing but bullies threatening God's people. Verse 9. They are loudmouths with no fear of God, pretending to know it all, windbags full of hot air, impressing only themselves. Jump over to verse 12. These are the wicked ones I'm talking about. They never have to lift a finger, living a life of ease in their riches, and their riches, well, their riches multiply. Verse 13 says, I have been foolish to play by such rules and keep my life pure. So we all say that, you know, I'm missing something here. I'm living my life pure, living for God, giving money to God, and still I have problems with my tires and this, things are breaking down. I've been serving God and doing this, all this, but still having trouble. I'm talking about this. Why do good things or bad things happen to good people? That's what I'm talking about this morning. And so he says, have I been foolish to play by the rules and keep my life pure? Verse 14. I am suffering under your discipline day after day. I feel like I'm being punished all day long. Verse 15 says, if I had given into my pain and spoken of what I was really feeling, I would have sounded like an unfaithful to the next generation. You know what? We say things sometimes like that, and we're calling God unfaithful, that he's not coming through with his promises. But we need to stay faithful so that the other people can say, hey, listen, you know, the psalmist says, my life has been a testimony of how good God is to me. That's what he says. So verse 16 says, when I tried to understand it all, I couldn't. It was too puzzling, too much of a riddle for me. I know I had a lot of questions in my life about a lot of stuff. And I remember Brother Hagin, I listened to Brother Hagin, I read between the lines. He said to me, listen, if you don't understand it, don't even go there. Just go ahead and live for God. Do what God told you to do. You know, I wish we had about 3 or 4 services a day here on Sunday. And I know that we could have it. But we do have an opposition. People always tell me, this is a well-hidden gym in Thunder Bay. This Faith City Church is a well-hidden gym. There's lots of good. We're doing a lot of good things. And we need to pick up something somewhere and find out what's happening. So when you try to understand it, you even get more confused. Verse 17, one day I was brought up into the sanctuaries of God. Listen, this is why prayer is important. And in the right light of glory, my distorted perspective vanished. Then I understood that the destiny of the wicked was near. They're the ones who are on the slippery path, and God will suddenly let them slide off into destruction to be consumed with terrors forever. It will be an instant, verse 19, end to all their life at ease at a blink of an eye, and they're swept away suddenly by calamity. They're all nothing more than the momentary monarchs. Verse 20, as soon to disappear like a dream, when one awakes and the rooster crows, the Lord will despise your life of fantasies. Verse 21, when I saw all this, what turmoil filled my heart, piercing my opinions with your truth. Verse 22, I was stupid, I was senseless and ignorant, acting like a brute beast before you, Lord. He's talking about, you know, animals don't evaluate things properly. But when you go to God and God speaks to you about things and shows you things, it's so important to understand things from how God sees it. God loves everybody. I said God loves everybody. And no matter how bad they're doing things and how they're stealing and doing different things, maybe in organizations, maybe in banks or wherever they're stealing and whatever happening to them, God loves these people that are doing that just as much as he loves you. And he's giving them an opportunity. The Bible says the goodness of God turns people to him. Now, you know, people would like for me to preach about sin every Sunday and how bad they are. You're bad. Every one of you is bad. And you should be cleaning up all your act. You silly winos and liars. You know, I mean, who's going to come to church? But, I mean, you know, most of you, I think, really live in a high level of God, with God. I believe that. I mean, you know, everybody makes mistakes. But God loves people everywhere. Now there's an end to everything. And when I've done this year and last year is probably the most funerals I ever did in my entire 35-year career as a pastor. I've done sometimes week after week a funeral, week after week going on. I've done more marriages this summer than I did in every year of the whole 35 years of my, just marriage, two marriages a week, one marriage a week. Anybody else want to get married here? I mean, we can do it. So it can remarry you. So anyway, this psalm, this man called Asaph, sounds like a lot of people. Many wonder why the wicked don't seem to suffer like those who live right. He was jealous of those who didn't live for God, but they prospered while they themselves were suffering. And we've all felt this way at one time or another, and we've made complaints to God and before God about our life situation. It seems like living right doesn't pay off. But wrong, God rewards us for living right. The Word of God says, while physical training has some value, training in living holy is useful for everything. It has a promise for life that now is and life to come. In other words, your good living, your lifestyle, is going to pay off right here and later on. The Bible says, in fact, when you die, all the good works, all the good things you did for God, follow you into heaven. That's the only thing you'll take to heaven, is what you do for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't do it because, oh, I want to be seen. I want to give this money. Oh, I want to help. Hey, everybody, I'm helping. I'm sweeping the floor here. Hey. You know, I'm playing the guitar for everybody. Isn't that good? No, that's not the way God sees your heart. And He rewards you for doing things that are behind the scene even. He knows where to find you. He said, nobody knows I'm here down in the cellar. Did you know that there's some people living in the cellar here? No, they're not. We had one guy there living. We had to get him out. We had to go to court. He's living downstairs. He called this a whore house. I mean, he was living downstairs. I said, hey, listen, you better be careful. I said, listen, we'll give you money. We'll move you. We'll hire trucks. We'll hire the army. Whatever we got, we'll give it to you. But move out. This is a church. So he was so mad, and we went to. He's laughing at us in court. I go to court. This. What do you call this court? Landlord and tenant. Man, there. You know, you can't kick a bad tenant out. You better be a good tenant there, whoever you are. So they're. Anyway. We got him out finally. He knew he's losing. Finally, he says, okay, I'll take all that. I'll take the check. I said, no, it's too late. We'll give you more, even. Anyways, that's a good story. So, NLT says physical training. How many of you know that? You like going to the gym? Anybody? Nobody likes going to the gym. I don't like going to the gym, too, but I go. Because they tell me, if you exercise as a man, as an older man, your muscles, they say your wife will love you more. No, they say if you exercise your muscles, your bones will get stronger. When you do physical training in there, and you do all, there's all kinds of stuff, and your back doesn't go out and whatever, you know. But it's good for you, right? There's a guy there, he's got 2 degrees on that. So anyway, praise God. So, but a training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the one to come. That's what it says in NLT. So living for God, I don't care what you're saying. If you're saying, oh, you know, this living for God, living right is not, you know, when's it ever going to pay off? It's going to pay off. I remember, I wasn't living quite right. And I came to Jesus. And some of you, not all of you, don't be convicted if you're doing something right, and I'm saying this, but the Lord says to me, all my life, I had bad relationships, and I had horrible things happen in my life. And so, for once in my life, I decided I'm going to do what God wants to do. And stop dating and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't work. But this online dating works. I mean, you know, my parents never had, you know, all this stuff dating. They just said, okay, you're marrying Mac over there. Come on. We're going to take you from Nakina all the way to Long Lake. That's what my aunt told me. Got my mom was working in a, she called it a cafe. He said, working in a cafe, and Nikita is way in a bush somewhere. I think you know that where that is, right? You live there. We won't mention, but anyway, my aunties went and got my mom, brought her to my dad, and he said, here's a girl, marry her. So that's how the internet worked back then. It was by tracks. They told me, they didn't say, who do you want to marry, honey? What kind of a guy do you want? They said, no, you're marrying this guy. God, give me the blankets now. You've been sold for 10 blankets. Anyway, something like that worked out, you know. But the Lord, I went to my pastor and said, you know what? He said to me, Roma, what you need to do is live for God. Just be the kind of guy. Live pure, live holy. Like if somebody was looking for you, they'd find you. By what God give you, a beautiful maid, pure maid, someone who lived for God with some wicked guy like you. He didn't say that, but I just add that on. And everybody's conniving. So anyway, I decided I'm going to do that. I'm going to work for Jesus. And I met my wife at school. Was not in church. If you live right and if you got pure motive, God will find you somebody. God had to find Anita to be in the ministry with me. If anybody else, it wouldn't have happened. I remember Brother Hagin, you know, thank God for visions. This girl was wanting to be with him, and he was there. And so he's a young pastor in the church. And this girl, and he's kind of like looking at her. He's, you know, they want to, you know, have some fellowship. Just go for an orange crush or something. But that's how it was back then. So anyway, he said, I'm preaching. Sunday morning, preaching. And he said, I went out in the Spirit. I'm preaching, but I went out in the Spirit. I went out and took a tour. How many people know that you could be sitting there and you could be in Tokyo or you could be in somewhere, China, you could be in Vancouver while you're sitting here? Because God can take you and make you have a little visit and see things. So anyway, he's preaching and the Lord took him from his Spirit and he said, all of a sudden, I saw this guy. He's driving down the street, and he stopped and picked this girl up, the girl that was interested in me. So he said, the Lord put me in the back seat. I drove down the over in the woods, and these people committed adultery right over there in the bush. I'm sitting there. And then I came back into my body. And the Lord said to me, that's not the girl for you. You know, thank God that he can protect you from things. But I'm trying to tell you to be protected too, right? So anyway, this is not part of the story here. We come back to that. Anyway, okay, so the question is, why does bad things happen to good people? You're going to have to come back next Sunday. Okay, anyway. So the devil will always tell you you're being foolish. You could be enjoying life. Why live pure? Why do this? So the devil always tell you that, right? You're wasting your time. You can just go out and get what you want. Psalm 73:13 we read. Have I been foolish to play by the rules and keep my life pure? So we have to understand that storms will come to everybody. Everyone knows that. If you look at Matthew 7, 24 to 29, Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, listen and following what Jesus taught. He's like a person who builds his house upon a rock. Though the rains and torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it was built on a bedrock. But if anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on the sand. When the rains and the floods came and the winds beat against that house, it collapsed and with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, These things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, and he taught them with real authority, unlike their teachers of religious law. So storms are part of life. They come to everybody, no matter who you are, if you're people of faith or people of no faith. Good and bad, as they used to say, somebody used to say, if you're pretty or ugly, they'll come to you, no matter who you are. Storms will occur in your life. Just be prepared. Okay? What happens in that storm and after the storm depends on how you've been preparing your life. So build a strong foundation on the scriptures. Now the question is, who caused the storms? Now we like to blame everybody else. We don't look at ourselves as much as we should. So we live in a natural world, as we mentioned, that has been tainted by sin and the devil. And the devil, where the devil is Lord, and he's the God of this world, just for the time being, he's causing havoc as much as he can, wherever he can go. 1 Corinthians 4:4 said he's God of this world. Ephesians 2:2 said he's the prince and power of the air. Luke 4:8 says all this authority has been given to him. All this power has been given to him. When the devil talked to Jesus, he said, if you do this, I'm going to give you all this stuff. When did he become the God of this world? Well, when he stole it from Adam, when he tricked Adam and Eve. And Adam was the God of this world, but he forfeited his position and gave that over when he disobeyed God, and Satan became the God of this world. You see that shift move over. We see this in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, 7, New Living says, the devil took Jesus, him, up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. How many people know that? You could be sitting there, the devil could show you something just a moment of time. You can see your life going up. You can see this trouble. You can see this in a moment of time. This is how the devil does. Verse 6, he says, the devil says, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and the authority over them. The devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. He's enticing people constantly. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. And Jesus, you know what Jesus did? He defeated them by not obeying and using the scripture. He's the God of this world for a short time until Jesus comes back. And Matthew 28, verse 29 reveals something here. When Jesus had come to the other side of the country, verse 28, Matthew 8, 28, on the other side of the country, of the Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce or violent that no one could pass by that way. That seemed like a place on my reserve where I used to go by. I didn't want to go there. There was violence there all the time. So I'm passing by there, especially at night. And there's some places in town I won't go at night. Unless I'm invited. No. Verse 29. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? The devil knows that his time is running out. And for now, he's doing a lot of stuff. And Jesus is going to. So why does bad things happen? Tony Cook, one of our instructors at Rhema, he wrote a lot of good books. He's a man of God, travels all over the world. He said bad things come in life because, number one, the devil attacks people. You, John 10:10. He causes, because he opposes you walking with God and following the dream that God has for you. There's protection walking with God under his shadow, Psalm 91 says. Bad things happen when we walk in disobedience to the will of God for our lives. Like when Jonah walked away from God's plan. Jonah chapter 1 verse 8 to 13 says Jonah had a direct word from God to obey, and he ran away from God, said, I'm not going to do that. And he got into a storm. He got into trouble. He was a good man, but he got into trouble. So, in order for him to get out of that trouble, he had to first acknowledge his wrong, his sin. If there's a storm of bad things happening, you have to acknowledge if you're going wrong with God, repent of your ways, and consecrate your life back to God if you want to get out of that bad situation. And so that's what he did. We see, you know, later on we see that. So bad things happen. Number two is because of disobedience. Number one, because the devil attacks you, opposes you. And First Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9 talks about the devil. He's waiting in the corner there waiting for you to make a wrong move, and he's going to attack you when you get out on his territory. He doesn't have a right to attack you, and you have God's providence or his protection over you when you're walking with God. You're covered. But it doesn't mean he won't attack you. He'll do whatever he can to attack you. He'll try to find a way through somebody. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But okay, anyway, thirdly, bad things happen because we break natural laws and not apply wisdom that God gives us. For example, Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 to 30, he broke natural laws when he overworked his body to the point of being sick and he almost died. But thank God for his mercy. God saved him. God healed him. So no matter, we can always rely on God. So sometimes when you break natural laws, you say, you know, I'm sick. I got, you know, Lord, heal me. My stomach started. Well, it wasn't the devil. Who ate that ice cream? You know you're allergic to it in your stomach. You got, you know, if you're like me, I can't take this lots of times. If I take it too much, it's like, oh. Some people can't take coffee. They say, I've been up for 3 days. I had one coffee. Right? So there's just different things that happen to people. So for you, maybe it affects you. You know, so you just can't go by what everybody does. So find out, you know, where you are. Because sometimes you have inherited things from your family that affects you. Like I didn't say, I want to be, you know, have a adverse effect of having milk. You don't want to be around me if I drink milk. You know, it's bad. So things happen to people. And so don't break spiritual laws. If you're working with people and you start talking about people and you break natural laws of relationships and you get into fights, who did the talking in the first place? Who let out the cat? Who told people that you talk about people? So you break those laws and you get into trouble. So how do you get out of that? Well, you know, you have to do something about it. First of all, make sure you're repentful in your ways. So we need to take a good hard look at ourselves. When bad things are happening, they come from it comes from three sources. Number one, it comes from the devil. He attacks you. So naturally, you know, listen, do all you can to walk with God. Thirdly, you know, maybe you've been disobeying God in an area of your life. Not everything, but maybe just one area you've left the door open. And you disobeyed God and God's dealt with you about it. And you say, well, I'll just keep a little grudge. I'm going to hang on to my hurts. No, you don't have any right to hang on to hurts. You don't. And if you're going to hang on to your hurts, it's going to stop your faith from working. You know, oh, I got it right. Everybody hurt me. The government hurt me. The church hurt me. There's people not in church because someone hurt them. Somebody said, listen, if you ate one hamburger and that hamburger was bad, you keep going back for hamburgers. Not every hamburger is bad. And some people say, oh, that priest, you know, he's bad. Not every priest is bad. Hello? And so we say these things, we blanket everybody, oh, these got to watch these faith cities, people there, grab it and blab it. You know, every time you say prosperity, everybody starts shaking. It's in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. So bad things happen to you, check out what's happening in your life. Maybe the third one is this, that you're the cause of it. You're not living in wisdom with the people around you. And you're causing more trouble for yourself, not living right, and treating people wrong, talking and gossiping, breaking laws, not using wisdom. You say, well, I'm speaking my mind. Well, there's times you don't have to speak your mind. You can't speak your mind all the time. You can get into trouble. Right? You can't just express yourself. The Bible says a fool will utter all his mouth, and he wonders why he's in trouble. We have to take time. Amen? Those are just generally, but I like to spend more time on the points on another time when we can take it. Everybody stand up. Hallelujah. We're going to close. It's 11:58. Hope I didn't talk too long. I think most of it was just kind of like fillers anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Bad things happen to people. Is it the devil? Is it because I'm not obeying God in my life? Things that He's told me? Thank you, Lord. Lately, I don't know what's happening in this world, but there's a lot of people dying. Lots of people dying. People I know on my friends and my Facebook friends, families, there are people dying every day. People from my community, friends of friends. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more aware of it than ever before. And we're responsible to bring out the gospel, to deliver right. Let's bring out the ushers. They're going to pass out the emblems. We're going to take a confession together. We're going to consecrate our lives as we take confession or communion, excuse me. Thank you, Lord. It's very significant when we're taking communion, because communion, when we come to the communion table, we have to do something. We don't just partake. There's something spiritual that happens when you come and receive communion. You have to examine your heart before God and ask yourself, am I living right? Do I have any confessions to make? Do I have any repentance in some area? Do I need to change something? Do I need to turn something around? Do I need to obey God? Maybe it's not a sin, but there's something there that God wants you to do. Maybe, say, for instance, prayer. Maybe it's serving somewhere. Maybe it's just being nice to your family. Could be anything. But God wants you to be protected by the enemy. And so the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that on that night that Jesus died, Jesus told Paul in a vision what the communion table is all about. He says, the Lord revealed to me about this. This is why many people are sick in church. They have little ailments that They keep going on and on and on for year after year after year. This is why some people have mental health issues, unstable, they're not at peace, and some die early before their time. God promises long, healthy life, divine health. And so, everyone bow your head. And so we say, Lord, there's something that you want to tell me. Something you want to confirm in my life? Is there something I need to repent of? And so right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I'm asking you, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me for not trying the way I used to try before to live clean. Maybe it's not as quick to repent. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me right now. I know you will. And not only that, but if I hurt someone with my language, with my behavior, I'm asking you to forgive me. And also, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive everyone who has sinned against me, who has wronged me, who has hurt me. I release the government. Maybe it's the government. I release the city of Thunder Bay. I release them now in the name of Jesus. Those responsible, I'm releasing them right now in your hands. You deal with them. You said vengeance is mine. I release those family members who hurt me. I release maybe perhaps my mom, my dad, or someone who abused me, someone who hurt me. And this keeps coming back at me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I know it'll be there again. I'll remember it, but I'm going to keep pushing it up. When the Bible says forgive it, it means to just let it go. let it go. So everybody right now, let every hurt go. Just let it go. Father, I release my hurt right now in the name of Jesus. And things that I don't understand, I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to leave it with you, and you're going to show me what I need to know. There's things that you know that I don't have to know. You said in Deuteronomy 29:29, the things that secret things belong to God, and the things that are revealed belong to me. So I want to thank you for revealing to me what I need to know in my life. Not somebody else's life, my life. So I stand, pray. You said when you stand praying, forgive. If you had anybody, if you've got a little grudge, a little resentment, a little hurt, just release it now in the name of Jesus. Release the anger you have about our government. Pray for them, the Bible says. Pray for your leaders. Don't criticize them. And I heard the Spirit of God say this. Every time you speak evil against the prime minister or the government, those words will come bouncing back to you. So if you want to have a clean heart, a life without those storms, release it now in the name of Jesus. What a man sows, that's what he reaps. Be quick to forgive, slow to speak, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ask God to forgive you for feeling sorry for yourself. Why is everybody having a hard time? Easy time. I'm the only one that's having it. Ask God to forgive you for being such a cry baby. In the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and take this wafer. The body of Jesus broken for you. Thank you for your body. If your blood as well that was shed for me. Let's go ahead and take the drink. The blood was shed for us. Hallelujah. If you're online, if you don't know Jesus, this is the time to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm inviting you in my life right now. I'm repenting from my ways. Things are wrong in my life. I'm changing my ways. I'm coming to you. If you've been away from God, to say, Lord, forgive me. I've been away from walking with you, but I'm coming back today. I turn to you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.